Today is the 31st day of July. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian. It is wonderful to be here together with you today as we end a month. Take the next step forward, but end a month together. 7 months. 7 months in this year already. Well done. And there's still so much out in front of us. So let's step forward and lean into that step and take the step forward. Our next step leads us back into the book of 2 Chronicles. Today, chapter 29. Hezekiah was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abijah, daughter of Zechariah. He did what was right in the Lord's sight, just as his ancestor David had done. In the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the Lord's temple and repaired them. Then he brought in the priests and Levites and gathered them in the eastern public square. He said to them, "Hear me, Levites. Consecrate yourselves now and consecrate the temple of the Lord, the God of your ancestors. Remove everything impure from the holy place, for our ancestors were unfaithful and did what is evil in the sight of the Lord our God. They abandoned him, turned their faces away from the Lord's dwelling place, and turned their backs on him. They also closed the doors of the portico, extinguished the lamps, did not burn incense, and did not offer burnt offerings in the holy place of the God of Israel. Therefore, the wrath of the Lord was on Judah and Jerusalem, and he made them an object of terror, horror, and mockery, as you see with your own eyes. Our fathers fell by the sword, and our sons, our daughters, and our wives are in captivity because of this. It is in my heart now to make a covenant with the Lord, the God of Israel, so that his burning anger may turn away from us. My sons, don't be negligent now, for the Lord has chosen you to stand in his presence, to serve him and to be his ministers and burners of incense." Then the Levites stood up. Maath, son of Amasai, and Joel, son of Azariah from the Kohathites, Kish, son of Abdi, and Azariah, son of Jehalalel, from the Merarites, Joah, son of Zima, and Eden, son of Joah, from the Gershonites, Shimri and Jewel from the Elizaphanites, Zechariah and Mattaniah from the Asaphites, Jehiel and Shimei from the Hemanites, Shemaiah and Uzziel from the Jeduthunites. They gathered their brothers together, consecrated themselves, and went according to the king's command by the words of the Lord to cleanse the Lord's temple. The priests went to the entrance of the Lord's temple to cleanse it. They took all the unclean things they found in the Lord's sanctuary to the courtyard of the Lord's temple. Then the Levites received them and took them outside to the Kidron Valley. They began the consecration on the first day of the first month, and on the eighth day of the month they came to the portico of the Lord's temple. They consecrated the Lord's temple for 8 days, and on the 16th day of the first month they finished. Then they went inside to King Hezekiah and said, "We have cleansed the whole temple of the Lord, the altar of burnt offering and all its utensils, and the table for the rows of the bread of the presence and all its utensils. We have set up and consecrated all the utensils that King Ahaz rejected during his reign when he became unfaithful. They are in front of the altar of the Lord." King Hezekiah got up early, gathered the city officials, and went to the Lord's temple. They brought 7 bulls, 7 rams, 7 lambs, and 7 male goats as a sin offering for the kingdom, for the sanctuary, and for Judah. Then he told the descendants of Aaron, the priests, to offer them on the altar of the Lord. So they slaughtered the bulls, and the priests received the blood and splattered it on the altar. They slaughtered the rams and splattered the blood on the altar. They slaughtered the lambs and splattered the blood on the altar. Then they brought the goats for the sin offering right into the presence of the king and the congregation, who laid their hands on them. The priests slaughtered the goats and put their blood on the altar for a sin offering, to make atonement for all Israel, For the king said that the burnt offering and sin offering were for all Israel. Hezekiah stationed the Levites in the Lord's temple with cymbals, harps, and lyres according to the command of David, Gad the king's seer, and the prophet Nathan. For the command was from the Lord through his prophets. The Levites stood with the instruments of David, and the priests with the trumpets. Then Hezekiah ordered that the burnt offering be offered on the altar. When the burnt offerings began, the song of the Lord and the trumpets began, accompanied by the instruments of King David of Israel. The whole assembly was worshiping, singing the song and blowing the trumpets. All this continued until the burnt offering was completed. When the burnt offerings were completed, the king and all those present with him bowed down and worshipped. Then King Hezekiah and the officials told the Levites to sing praise to the Lord in the words of David and of the seer Asaph. So they sang praises with rejoicing and knelt low and worshipped. Hezekiah concluded, Now you are consecrated to the Lord. Come near and bring sacrifices and thanksgiving offerings to the Lord's temple. So the congregation brought sacrifices and thanksgiving offerings, and all those with willing hearts brought burnt offerings. The number of burnt offerings the congregation brought was 70 bulls, 100 rams, and 200 lambs. All these were for a burnt offering to the Lord. 600 bulls and 3,000 sheep and goats were consecrated. However, since there were not enough priests, they weren't able to skin all the burnt offerings. So their Levite brothers helped them until the work was finished and until the priests consecrated themselves. For the Levites were more conscientious to consecrate themselves than the priests were. Furthermore, the burnt offerings were abundant, along with the fat of the fellowship offerings and with the drink offerings for the burnt offering. So the service of the Lord's temple was established. Then Hezekiah and all the people rejoiced over how God had prepared the people, for it had come about suddenly. Romans 14. Welcome anyone who is weak in faith, but don't argue about disputed matters. One person believes he may eat anything, while one who is weak eats only vegetables. One who eats must not look down on one who does not eat, and one who does not eat must not judge one who does, because God has accepted him. Who are you to judge another's household servant? Before his own Lord he stands or falls, and he will stand, because the Lord is able to make him stand. One person judges one day to be more important than another day. Someone else judges every day to be the same. Let each one be fully convinced in his own mind. Whoever observes the day observes it for the honor of the Lord. Whoever eats, eats for the Lord, since he gives thanks to God. And whoever does not eat, it is for the Lord that he does not eat, and he gives thanks to God. For none of us lives for himself, and no one dies for himself. If we live, we live for the Lord, and if we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Christ died and returned to life for this, that he might be Lord over both the dead and the living. But you, why do you judge your brother or sister? Or you, why do you despise your brother or sister? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, As I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow to me, and every tongue will give praise to God. So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us no longer judge one another. Instead, decide never to put a stumbling block or pitfall in the way of your brother or sister. I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself. Still, To someone who considers a thing to be unclean, to that one, it is unclean. For if your brother or sister is hurt by what you eat, you are no longer walking according to love. Do not destroy by what you eat someone for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let your good be slandered. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Whoever serves Christ in this way is acceptable to God and receives human approval. So then, let us pursue what promotes peace and what builds up one another. Do not tear down God's work because of food. Everything is clean, but it is wrong to make someone fall by what he eats. It is a good thing not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything that makes your brother or sister stumble. Whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the one who does not condemn himself by what he approves. But whoever doubts stands condemned if he eats, because he is eating not from faith, and everything that is not from faith is sin. Psalm 24. The King of Glory, a Psalm of David. The earth and everything in it, the world and its inhabitants, belong to the Lord. For he laid its foundation on the seas and established it on the rivers. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not appealed to what is false, and who has not sworn deceitfully. He will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Such is the generation of those who inquire of him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob. Selah. Lift up your heads, you gates. Rise up, ancient doors. Then the King of Glory will come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, you gates. Rise up, ancient doors. Then the King of Glory will come in. Who is he, this King of Glory? The Lord of armies. He is the King of Glory. Selah. Proverbs 20:12. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord made them both. Okay, so in the book of Romans today, Paul is discussing some things that we need to pay very, very close attention to within the body of Christ. And if we would pay attention, things would change. So it's not unusual for us in the Christian culture to discuss things like unity. Unity in the body. Because we can look around and say there's plenty of division. Maybe even more than plenty. And so we can find ourselves exasperated, especially when we have a brother or sister who doesn't see things the way that we see them, and we're convinced they're wrong. Maybe even sinful. And we can think, will we ever be going in the same direction? Will God's kingdom, will this body of Christ ever act like a body? Instead of just kind of always being in conflict in so many areas. And we can think that if the whole body could get on the same page and become like-minded, then unity can happen. And a lot of times what that means is if everybody could see things the way that I do. But we're not really talking about unity. We're talking about uniformity. In our reading from the letter to the Romans today, Paul says, "Welcome anyone who is weak in faith, but don't argue about disputed matters." And then Paul gives us some insight into some of what those matters were in the early church, because these issues were causing segregation. And I don't mean like racial segregation. They were dividing people up into camps of those who thought the same way, which is fine until you start to believe that your camp, your tribe, is correct and everyone else is not. This causes arguments and debates that become full of pride and reinforce the division. The examples that Paul used today were about what you could and could not eat, and another issue about what days were to be observed as holy. And from these examples, we can look at our own lives and find all kinds of parallels. So here's how Paul lays it out, and I quote, "One who eats must not look down on one who does not eat, and one who does not eat must not judge one who does, because God has accepted him. Who are you to judge another's household servant? Before his own Lord he stands or falls, and he will stand, because the Lord is able to make him stand. One person judges one day to be more important than another day. Someone else judges every day to be the same. Let each one be fully convinced in his own mind." And Paul goes on to explain that if we are committed and fully devoted to Jesus and using our lives to bring glory to him, then we are doing the right thing. And if we encounter another brother or sister who also love Jesus and are devoted and loyal to him and are using their lives to bring glory to him, but they do things or say things that we don't because of our convictions before the Lord, then we have no business trying to become the judge. For Paul, there's only one judge. There's only one who can legitimately make a judgment. And we're wasting energy and time and causing divisions trying to throw the actual judge off the throne so that we can make judgments. Paul's advice is that we keep our eyes on our own lives and follow the leading of the Spirit about what is good and right and true and healthy for us, about what we can and cannot do, instead of keeping our eyes on everyone else's life, judging what they can or cannot do. We all have our own story. We all have our own background. And we all entered this world in a story that was already going. We have ancestors that go back thousands of years that we don't know their names or what their decisions were. We barely know this just several generations back. We jumped onto a moving train, and we began to tell the story of our lives, and all those distinctive nuances of each of our stories. This is the beauty. We're not all going to land in the same spot about every single thing. What being Christ-like looks like will be unique to each of us. So trying to shave all of that beauty off of all of our lives so that we can become unified or in unity because we are all uniform, all the same, diminishes the fact that we all got here by different routes. And Jesus came to us in our story, all of our stories. Paul says, "You, why do you judge your brother or sister? Or you, why do you despise your brother or sister? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. Therefore, let us no longer judge one another. Instead, decide never to put a stumbling block or pitfall in the way of your brother or sister." If we would just listen to that advice, things would change. We each have a story of redemption to tell, and we're telling that story with our thoughts, words, and deeds. And each of us have a different story of redemption to tell, because God is redeeming our stories. So when we judge someone and their story and where they are at in their story, we are forgetting that it's not our story to tell. We have a story of redemption to tell, and we are fully invited to tell it. And may we tell it strong and true. But when our story is simply about judging other people's stories, that's not even an interesting story. We are invited to tell the story of redemption, regardless of what anyone else thinks. We're supposed to be who we are. God made us. And so we are given enormous amounts of freedom to glorify God with our story, with our lives. And we don't need to judge anyone else's story to tell ours. But we have to be paying attention, because we are given this enormous freedom to tell the story of redemption in our lives as we follow the Holy Spirit. But we can't use that freedom in an arrogant way or a prideful way that would cause another brother or sister to stumble on their journey. Paul says, "Let us pursue what promotes peace and what builds up one another. Do not tear down God's work because of food. Everything is clean, but it is wrong to make someone fall by what he eats. It is a good thing not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything that makes your brother or sister stumble. Whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God." So Paul is saying, look, you have your life and you have your relationship with God, and you should live into it fully, following the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And if you come into a situation or a choice or something that you have doubts about, and your conviction is ringing the red bell, and you go ahead and do this thing, then that would be sin for you. Someone else may not share that conviction. It's not up to you to judge them. As we said like 10 times in the last minute, we all have our story to tell, and tremendous freedom has been given to us, and we will all stand before God as individuals. We have tremendous freedom, but we cannot use that freedom in a prideful or arrogant way. Our lives impact other people's lives. The body of Christ is as diverse as the human race, and unity will come when we fully express the glory of the Lord through our own stories without judging anyone else's. Paul says, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Whoever serves Christ in this way is acceptable to God and receives human approval. So then let us pursue what promotes peace and what builds up one another. Father, we ask for your help on exactly that. We are in a world where we are invited at every turn to make a comparison. We get our identity by comparing ourselves to someone else. Our story compared to their story. And what we are being told here is, we have a story to tell, and we can glorify you uniquely in that story. And when we get all confused on judging everybody else's story so that we can have some sort of identity, we're missing the point. Our identity comes from you. You have given us permission to be ourselves, and we must recognize that you have given that same permission to everybody else. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is home base. That is the website, and you can find out what's going on around here there. Also, the Daily Audio Bible app puts that in the palm of your hand and a lot more. So certainly check that out at the app store that is connected to your device. Just search for Daily Audio Bible and you'll find it. Check out the different sections like the community section. This is where you can find links to get connected on social media. But this is also the home of the prayer wall that is always here for us. Just us, here around the global campfire, always available. We can always go and ask for prayer. We can always go and offer prayer. And so check that out in the community section. And if you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, first of all, thank you, humbly. We couldn't be here if we weren't all throwing logs on the global campfire. And so thank you, humbly. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app, or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Dear Jesus, thank you so much for this platform and this podcast, Brian and Jill and this family. Continue to bless them and have your way. Lord, we pray for all those that call in every day and listen to the word of God. Pray that they will grow and increase in wisdom and knowledge. I pray that everyone that hears the sound of Brian's voice be filled with the knowledge of your will. Let them walk in holy boldness. Let them walk in confidence. For you have not given us a spirit of fear. Help us to walk in the light as you are in the light. We can have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus will cleanse us from all sin. Encourage us, Lord, to trust you more in the midst of our circumstances and our trials and our tribulations. Knowing that the trying of our faith worketh patience. Patience experience and experience hope. Walk with us, Lord. Walk with us. Encourage our going out and our coming in. Bless those that are sick. Bless those that are spreading your word in unwelcoming places. Lord, let your word have free course in the lives of your people that are called by your name. We love you. We love you. We need you, Lord. We pray against addictions. Alcohol, drugs, pornography. Lord, have your way, Father. We are your people that are called by your name. You said, ask and we shall receive. Seek and we shall find. Knock and the door shall be open. We're asking, we're seeking, we're knocking. Lord, answer our prayer. Thank you again for all things. Thank you again for the Daily Audio Bible, keeping us in tune, in lock, and in step with you day by day. Amen.
This is a prayer for my brother Matt. My brother Matt was released about 4 years ago from prison. And while he was in prison, they were trying to find different medications to put him on for his depression. During the process, various things happened in there, and he was traumatized mentally and physically, I believe. So now he's out, and he still struggles with mental issue, came off his meds, and so right now I'm trying to get him put back on Medicare, and I'm trying to get him back into the doctor and getting him into a safe house. So I just ask God that the doors be opened.
Hello, Dabbers. Christopher from the Pretzel City out here with the chirping birds. And could you just pray over my job search? I am a marketing agency guy. My agency is scaling back. And, you know, so I need to either pick up more of my freelance clients or find a part-time or full-time position with another agency. And if you could say a prayer over that, I would greatly appreciate it. Stay cool out there, folks. God bless you.
Hi, Dab family. This is Thankful and Still, and I just wanted to pray for a young man I met tonight who was struggling to make a purchase, counting up some change for a drink this evening, and then I ran into him later down the road and was able to share some money with him. But if we could just pray for him, I feel like God's going to move, you know, with our prayers. But Lord, I just thank you for the young man, Valentino, that I met tonight. I pray, Heavenly Father, blessings over him, as he said that he had planned to steal food to eat this evening, and now he doesn't have to. He was going to buy the food, and I thank you for hope that you provide, Lord, and I thank you that you will provide opportunities for him along the road for healing, for friendship, for a relationship with you, Lord. I pray that you would soften his heart and mind, and as we introduced ourselves to one another and he shook my hand, you know, he just looked like it was a good day. And I pray that he have more good days, and that when the challenges come, Lord, that he could turn to you. May godly people come across his path, and may he surrender it all to you, Heavenly Father, and rely on you every step of the way, fulfilling his calling in you. I thank you and praise you for the opportunity today, Lord, to see something outside of myself and my home and my family. And I thank you and I praise you, Lord, for all your goodness and all that you're doing in this world, Lord. I pray that you bless my brothers and sisters that are listening and praying along. In Jesus' name, amen.